Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. I am very excited today to be joined by Sixto Campbell, founder and chief executive officer of Think of Us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So Sixto, why don't we just start with an introduction? Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and about how you came to be the CEO of Think of Us?
Well, I guess the journey begins with my personal journey being in the foster care system for so long. I had entered at 11 months and then ended up aging out of foster care when I turned 23. Fortunately, I had lived in Connecticut, which has a unique system where you can stay in as long as you're engaged in education. And so sophomore of college, I started Think of Us to really figure out how was it that we can leverage technology, data, and multimedia to build tools that really help young people navigate from being in foster care to being a young adult connected to education and employment.
When you look at that transition, and you know, there's an intersectionality of so many issues that are impacting kids' lives in that time period, what is the role of Think of Us in improving that transition?
So right now we're developing the Think of Us platform, which we are piloting in Santa Clara County. And this platform helps young people build their own personal advisory board that helps them accomplish some of the milestones that need to happen before you're completely on your own, and which in most states, that's at the age of 18. So having a plan for education, understanding where you're going to live the day after you're 18, understanding how is it that you're going to make enough income. So how do you make that plan? How do you set those goals? And then how do you begin to accomplish them? So our platform empowers young people to build their own personal advisory boards. These personal advisory boards are made up of people in the young person's personal network and staff from the system and certain nonprofit services. And then together they identify kind of the blueprint and some of the goals and action steps that they can then begin to take and work on as they get ready to age out of the foster care system.
Now, I heard you speak recently at Intel's AI Day in San Francisco, and it was an interesting connection with artificial intelligence. What role does advanced analytics and artificial intelligence play in terms of improving the platform that you're talking about?
You know, if I can wave a magic wand, the next step that I want to take with the platform in artificial intelligence is one where the AI starts to provide us more information around what is the pathway from being in foster care to being a self-sufficient adult. So when we look at different communities, there are different employment rates, there are different graduation rates, there are different markets that provide an easier pathway to move up. You know, economic mobility is key for young people in foster care. And so for me, if I could wave a magic wand, it would be the AI telling us, hey, listen, you're trying to become self-sufficient. You're going to age out at 18. For a young person who is 18 in this zip code, they usually have two roommates making $7.60 an hour. So you may need two part-time jobs to meet your budget. And by the way, here's the recommended budget based on the expenses and living expenses of this specific zip code. So to me, I think there's this huge opportunity to look at what is the data around zip codes across the country, and then how does AI allow us to be as strategic as possible to understand what are the possible options and pathways that young people and their personal advisory boards can navigate through.
One of the things that we hear a lot when it comes to AI is that if you use historical data to train your algorithm, you may be actually institutionalizing bias in decision-making or, you know, creating patterns of behavior that you don't want to reinforce. What's the role of that in the way that you approach AI when it comes to the foster care system, which, you know, has some history of maybe some poor decisions in the past in some cases that we don't want to repeat?
I think there's definitely a journey to explore there, but I think that the way that we check ourselves with our own bias and how we also put in that data is one of the first steps that we can definitely take. But in terms of making sure the way that we want to use AI, it's really focusing on data that has more to do with the opportunities or the lack of opportunities within a community and what are some of the trends within that community. So when I think about Richmond, Virginia, and I think about a foster youth here, I immediately think about them being able to get access to training and video production, because the art scene is so big in Richmond, Virginia, that it provides a lot of opportunity for people who are skilled with cameras, right? When I think of young people, though, in Santa Clara County, I think of young people being able to learn things such as Salesforce and some of the administrative trainings that they have, because there's a market for that there. So to me, I think as we start to think about what data that we put in, thinking about what is some of the non-biased data that we can begin with, and then how do we then start to learn how to limit our own bias?
Now, tell me, what is the current state of Think of Us, and what are your goals as we head into 2017 in terms of where you want to take the organization?
So right now we have the MVP of the MVP, if I like to call it, and we are going to begin to iterate with young people in Santa Clara, Nebraska, and potentially three other sites. So it's going to be a pretty busy year for us coming up. But where we want to head to is we would love to, as a nonprofit, work with some of the very talented companies out there and researchers who would like to explore how is it that we could use zip code data and a few other pieces of data to really help young people inform what pathways they choose. You know, what we know today is that some people in life are born with 12 cards to play a card game, and some people are only born with 3 cards. But with the help of AI, we can get to the point that regardless whether you have 12 cards or 3 cards, that you can play those 3 cards in such a strategic way that it helps you achieve some of the same outcomes that someone who has 12 cards can have.
Can you tell me a little bit about the White House Foster Care and Technology Hackathon that you guys participated in and how you're engaging with the broader tech community to deliver greater results?
Absolutely. So this past May, the White House Office of Science and Technology, the Domestic Policy Council, and Think of Us, we all partnered to say how is it that we shift the conversation in child welfare to really leverage the opportunity that tech provides us. We were able to have this huge 2-day hackathon, but it wasn't just a regular hackathon where people were just hacking to create different proofs of concepts. We merged it with several different concepts, such as a legal hackathon. We had commitments to action where over $7 million worth of commitments of action and funding was made available. We also, for the first time in 23 years, were able to get an update on the regulations around the case management systems that state use. 23 years ago, we had barely had the internet. The internet was in its third year. We did not have smartphones. And the common practice back then was to have waterfall systems, where these regulations is providing this new age for case management systems across the country to be updated by 2018. So that day, we literally, you know, woke up and went to sleep, and it was a complete different child welfare system, because there's this huge opportunity that's ticking for states to leverage figuring out what are the tools that social workers need to be out in the field. What are the tools that young people can use in order to really make sure that they're reconnecting with their families, that if they're not being reconnected, that they're adopted faster, and if they're not being adopted, that when they age out of the foster care system, that they are completely able to be able to thrive way beyond just self-sufficiency.
You know, a lot of folks from the technology industry listen to this podcast. What kind of call to action would you want to give them to get engaged or help?
So I say there are two things. The first one, I'm going to say that child welfare has spent about $2.8 billion on software in the last 10 years. And unfortunately, when we have interacted with a lot of counties and states, what we've seen is software from the 1980s, from the 1990s. And to me, it's unacceptable. And it's borderline unethical. And the reason why is because software has such a powerful influence on the culture of an agency. It also really has direct impact on the young people and families that are in need. And in order to really be able to serve young people, social workers cannot be spending 4 or 5 hours preparing the case within the software so that then it can go to be reviewed for a judge, et cetera, et cetera. When I think about how is it that we can really see a revolution, I really look at the for-profit market and I say, build better products. Products that are evidence-based, that provide analytics beyond what people are expecting right now. Because if you develop to the RFP, you're doing a disservice to young people in the system. And here's an example. Just about a month and a half ago, there was a 6-year-old boy who came in contact with the Child Protective Services 5 different times. Now, unfortunately, there was no alert system to hire management to say this kid had came into the attention five different times. There was no alert system that signed a more veteran investigative social worker to that case. And as a result, this sixth time, that child lost his life. And this could have been something that could have been brought to the attention of higher up administrators. This is something that we could have deployed better resources around if we knew the data, if we simply had the simple tech of making sure that there was an alert. Now, that's not the solve all problem, but technology does play a role on how we keep kids safe. And unfortunately, we do not see that today. Now, also, we have to have government and agencies demand more in our RFPs to be able to include, to so that the tech sector can know how to respond. But I think that my calling to the tech sector is to please think beyond the requirements of RFP. Secondly, there are nonprofits like Think of Us who are more than willing to, you know, brainstorm to assist in some of the procurement processes and really share some of the learnings that we have had so that we can make sure that we are building tools that truly save the lives of young people.
It's really fantastic what you're doing here and really inspirational to see how technology can actually be implemented to address some of our largest challenges in society. Just thanks so much for being on the program. I would expect that a lot of folks who are listening online want to find out more about Think of Us. How can they engage with you further?
So feel free to reach out to us at our email at info@thinkof-us.org. That's info@thinkof-us.org, or feel free to find us on Twitter also.
Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.